Chapter, verse 1. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the example of these kings. Lord, these men that many of them started so strong following after you, but they didn't finish strong. So Lord, let us glean from this. Lord, teach us how to guard ourselves. Lord, that we would finish strong and honor you with our testimony all of our days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we saw Uzziah's father, Amaziah, like many of these others, crash and burn. And if you remember going through the study, we saw it coming in the second verse of chapter 25, where we read that he did right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. He had a good start, but failed to finish strong. And we've seen that theme throughout this book with many of these kings. And unfortunately, we see the same thing being lived out in the lives of many men today. We've seen in these kings, one catastrophic compromise can destroy a testimony, can devastate a legacy, and tarnish the impact on offspring for generations. Amaziah, we read, did not have a loyal heart toward God, meaning that he served God when it worked out, when it was convenient, when he wanted to. And when he did not want to serve God, when it didn't serve his purposes, when it didn't fit his will, he didn't serve God. He exerted his will over God's will. And you may remember in verse 11 of chapter 25, we read that Amaziah strengthened himself, and he began to have some success. We read about some success militarily, and it said that he slaughtered the Edomites, and as part of the spoil, you remember, he picked up their false gods, and he brought them back, the false gods of the people of Seir, and made them his gods, and bowed before them, and burned incense to them, and then ended terribly. And we see Uzziah here picking up, becoming king at 16 years old, and he ruled for 52 years. Can you guys imagine having the same president for 52 years? I mean, regardless of where you stand on this one, any of them, you can't, right? I mean, that's not how it's done here, but 52 years with the same man in authority. But we read some interesting things here. Again, verse 1, now the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, made him king instead of his father, and the very first thing he does is he built Elath and restored it to Judah. Elath was a strategic city near the Red Sea, a seaport city, and that was the first thing that he did. The king, his father, rested with his fathers. It says Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, reigned 52 years. Verse 4 says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. He sought God. So he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, which in order to do that, you need to know what is right in the sight of the Lord, right? So that comes with a knowledge of the scriptures, learning and understanding the law of the Lord, what the Lord desires, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he sought God. Verse 5 says he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. This isn't the same Zechariah that we read who has a book titled after him, but he was a man that had understanding of the visions of God. And it goes on and it says, as long as he sought the Lord, as long as he sought after the Lord, God made him prosper. So why did this king prosper? He sought God, but God made him prosper. It was God's doing. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's, you know, we make that commitment, guys. Kind of bizarre circumstances, but this week I've had multiple conversations with people that have said, "Hey, do you think this person's saved? Or do you think that person's saved?" And I am not the judge of that. But it's been based on a pattern of life that they've seen that has caused question. Or dispute in that. I mean, Jesus lays out some pretty particular things on how we will know. But in particular, it was speaking of people that made a profession of faith, maybe at 8 years old, and then lived like hell ever since. You know, there was no evidence of that. And here he says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Again, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's the commitment. When we make a profession of faith, that's our testimony, that we will seek first the kingdom of God above all other things. So yes, we want him as Savior, but he's also to be our Lord. He is to be the boss. And that's what Jesus is instructing us. And then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you can look at Matthew chapter 6 and see what he's talking about. What are the things that will be added unto you? And it includes treasures in heaven. It includes God's provision for us here and now in our current state. Fellowship with him, the highest goal of man and God, that we could actually have fellowship with him, be a part of the kingdom of God. All of that, if we seek him first, those are the things that we gain. You guys may remember, I hope you remember, a few kings back, we talked about a king in chapter 21, Jehoram. We read about King Jehoram, and you guys will remember, I think, this part, that he was the guy that was struck by the Lord with a sickness in his intestines and was extremely sick for 2 years until it says his intestines came out and he died a painful death. Well, during his rule and reign, before he died, the Philistines and the Arabians, we read, had invaded Judah and parts of Jerusalem and occupied part of that territory. And set up walls to protect their territory. And we read in chapter 26, the first thing that he did was he built Elath, but then we see in verse 6, it says, now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him. That was the key to his success. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur-Baal, and against the Meunites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt because he became exceedingly strong. So these walls that had been set up by the enemy to sort of fortify their near territory, Uzziah tore them down as he reclaimed land, tore down these walls that restricted them from being where they should have already been. And I see application in that in our own lives, guys, that's something that we need to do. We need to walk in the ways of the Lord like Uzziah did, live like the Lord says to live, do what he says to do. As Uzziah did, we need to seek after the Lord. It says he sought after the Lord. We need to do likewise. But there are areas in some of our lives that either because of compromise or because of stagnation, that we have surrendered to the enemy, turned over areas that we need God's help. Like he called out to God, God helped him. That was his key to success. Some of us need to call out to God, and or all of us, and need to say, Lord, are there any areas that I've surrendered? And we talked Sunday about losing our first love and not being in that place we once were. And if that's the case, have we allowed the enemy to block us off from the things, the blessings even, that the Lord has for us? Are there walls that we need God to help us reclaim lost ground? Or perhaps there's walls that are blocking us from going where God wants us to go. You know, maybe he's told you, or at one time, I want to use you in this way, or I've given you this gift and I want you to use it for the sake of ministry. And we see this huge wall or this huge barrier. And maybe it's a barrier of discouragement, or we talk about pride a whole lot, and we'll do so tonight as well, but maybe it's lack of confidence, not so much in ourselves, but of God. God's made these promises, but we've allowed the enemy to put up walls that block us from going where he would have us to go, or growing in areas that he's trying to grow us in. And we need to ask God to help us tear those down. So Uzziah also, verse 9, says, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers. Can you turn on this back row of lights? Vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Interesting. He loved the soil. Some of you guys loved the garden, loved to plant, loved to prune trees. And this king had a love for that. But what's neat about that too is that was the way that he could provide for the people, you know, through the soil, through the land that the Lord had blessed them with. But look at again what he did in verse 9. It says, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate. So he built towers, but they were in strategic places. You know, look at the different places that it says that he built them. And then not only did he build them, the valley gate and the corner buttress of the wall, then he fortified them. He strengthened those towers that he built. So he kind of examined the situation that they were in, saw where they were. He identified areas of vulnerability and strengthened them, built up these towers for defense, saw areas that the enemy could attack. Where were their enemies of, or areas of weakness? Where could the enemy catch them off guard? Where could the enemy attack or kill, destroy? And he fortified against the enemy. Any application for that in us? Yeah. I mean, talk about finishing strong. We see these king after king after king. They followed after the Lord. Then they got strong. And when they felt like they made it, when they felt like they were okay, compromise set in, sin set in, and they fell. King David, right? King David was about the Lord's business and in battle and at war. And the time that he didn't go out to battle and he stayed on the balcony, he fell into sin. You know, so that's the same thing. It's a lot of you are kind of in my same age group. And no matter what the Lord's done with you at this up to this point, you want to finish strong. That's where I am in my life, is I want as many eyeballs on my life as possible so that when people see things, if people see compromise or sin creeping up, I want to be called out on it because I don't want to. I don't want to shame my Lord. I don't want to think that I'm impenetrable or at a place where I've arrived and I couldn't fall just like that if I don't abide in Jesus. So, guys, we need to do this. Where are we potentially weak in our lives? Where are we vulnerable? Where could the enemy attack us if we don't build up defenses against it and fortify it by letting other people know, hey, I'm prone to be attacked in this area, and you need to ask me about it. You need to check on me about it. You need to strengthen me about it. I need to build up safeguards so it doesn't happen. And that's what we see in this king. And there's some application for us today. But let's go on and see how this all turns out. He loved the soil. We read in verse 10, verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number on their roll as prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stone. He made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So historically, I think this is about 300 years before the first recorded catapult. You know, but that's what it sounds like that he did. He built these devices so they could fling arrows from the tower. They could shoot large rocks. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped. And I wish it ended there. Like many of these kings, I wish it said he lived happily ever after. But it says, till he became strong. I love the whole part before that when it says, Uzziah the king, he equipped the men. He prepared these things. And in our king, guys, that's, I mentioned callings and things that we haven't stepped into that the Lord's called us to. And maybe that's a lack of faith, that he equips the called. You know, I know some of you, and it's so awesome, but some of you are being challenged in those things right now, and I see you taking these little steps of faith and little steps of obedience towards what the Lord has called you to. And some of you are taking steps back, and you're tearing down walls that you've let me build up, and it's like, no, this is where I belong in service to the Lord, and that's awesome. And our King will equip us to do all that he's called us to. And that's what we see here in Uzziah. These men brought mighty war, it says, mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And then the king equipped them with all of these things and built these devices. And his fame, oh no, fame spread. His celebrity spread. His name spread. For he was marvelously helped. It was all because of what God had done till he became strong. Up until this point, he knew that strength, that provision, all of that came from the Lord. And it seems where he became strong that he assumed that that strength was somehow in himself, that he had arrived. Sure, I know there's blessing of the Lord on this, and he's behind this. But, I mean, you got to admit, look around. I'm a pretty good king. You know, I've accomplished this, and I've accomplished that. And the enemy comes in, and pride rises up. We see in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. That's so sad. You guys have heard it many times. Pride goeth before. Pride goeth before the fall. That's how we always hear it. Let's look at the actual verse. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what happened with King Uzziah. This haughty spirit rose up inside of him, and he fell. His heart was lifted up. This haughty spirit was lifted up when he was strong. And what did it lead to? His destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering in to the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. What's the problem with that? He's not a priest, right? He's a king, and that office is not to be shared. A king is not to be a priest. A priest is not to be a king, except for Jesus. That role will be fulfilled. Both of those roles will be fulfilled by him. But it wasn't his role. But you can see as a haughty spirit rises up, and I mean, it's easy to look at what a priest does and how difficult is it to swing some incense, you know? I can do that. God's been honoring. God's been blessing even. They've heard of me all over the land. Surely I can do that. You know, we make this simple enough here where we read the word and we explain the word. And there's nothing wrong with thinking, well, I can do that, because you all are called to ministry. But there are things that we're called, specific things that we're called to, and things that we're not called to. And King Uzziah was not called to be a priest. And his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. It says he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Verse 17 says, so Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron. Can you imagine that? That courageous, I know he took 80 guys with him, But still, that was courageous. Can you imagine busting in on our president or any of our presidents and saying, hey, dude, that's not for you to do that. That's not your role. You know, sometimes we esteem men or worry about the favor of men more than the favor of God. And these guys were faithful to the office, to the role, the priesthood that they were called to. And they see a king, somebody that has really in their world the power of life and death. And they confront him and they call him out on it. And they say, Uzziah, this is not for you. This is for the priests to burn incense of the Lord, the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Wow. Powerful, brave, faithful men. Such danger in success. You know, we pray, Lord, give me my daily bread. But most of us would love a little bit more, we think. But there's danger in riches. There's danger in success. There's danger when we think we are strong. Or when we think, you know what, I'm good. I don't struggle in that area. I don't have an issue like that guy does in that area. I don't have to worry about falling there. You know, that's the same thing as Uzziah here. Is he's going into something he's not called for, but he thinks he's good to do it. You know, and sometimes we don't set up these safeguards and don't fortify these areas of weakness as we think we're good in our own strength. And we fall. And there's destruction. We get prideful. I read a good quote on pride. I don't know anything about this guy, but it came from a man named Buddy Robinson, I think. It says, pride is the only disease to humans that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. Isn't that true? I mean, we can be so prideful that we don't even know we're prideful. We can't even see it. Kind of like some of us have parented high school athletes. You know, they don't even recognize their own stink. Pride is the same way, you know? Pride is the same way. Peter, remember the Lord Jesus warning Peter? Lord, even if everyone else forsakes you, I will not. And the Lord, before this night is over, Peter, three times. Let's learn from Uzziah. Let's learn from these kings. Uzziah wanted to do something he wasn't called to do. He was told to get out of the sanctuary. That's one of the, probably the biggest manifestation of pride is when we know what God wants. We know what God's law says. We know what God's word says. We know what he's called us to. But we exert our will above his will. Isn't that prideful? When God gives us instruction and we go our own way, do our own thing, or serve without a loyal heart, serve when we want to and not when we don't. You know, and I wish we could show the scene. As he goes in and he goes to burn incense and the priests come in, these 80 priests, and they say, Uzziah, this isn't for you to do this. You need to stop right now. This is for the priests. This is for the sons of Aaron. You need to get out. You'll have no honor from the Lord. And just kind of freeze the scene and see what the response is. See what's going on. Verse 19, it says, then Uzziah became furious because he had a choice. Right? We all have a choice when someone comes to us and says, hey, you're blowing it. Especially if they can say, hey, you're blowing it, and here's why. Here's what the Word of God says on this, and here's what I see in your life, and I love you, you know, and I want you to see this, and I want to walk through this with you. And I'm going to rebuke you because I care. And I have responded poorly to that at times in my life. You know, I have got defensive, and I have denied it, and I have fought it, you know, turned it into a fight. But we also have the choice to hear that and receive that? Couldn't Uzziah at this point have been like, well, I have 80 plus one godly men coming to me to say I'm in the wrong. You know what? You're right, guys. And I repent before the Lord and show me the way out. Yeah, I truly believe Uzziah could have done that right here at that freeze frame. Could have humbled himself before the Lord. All his success up until this point says it was because of the Lord, because the Lord helped him. So he's confronted, but his choice rather than repentance. Verse 19, then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Do you think that would have happened had he repented? You think the Lord would have said, I'm still going to get you? I think he had a chance there. Opportunity to tear down some walls and repent and turn back to the Lord. But he's angry. Leprosy breaks out on his forehead. And you guys know leprosy was short of a healing of the Lord. You were going to die with it. So leprosy breaks out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Verse 20 says, and Azariah, the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous, so they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his life. Until the day of his death, I'm sorry. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't allowed to go in and burn incense, but up until that point, he could have gone into the outer courts. He could have prayed there. He could have gathered for worship. But now because he wanted to do something he wasn't called to, and he disobeyed the instruction of the Lord, and he disobeyed the priests, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. You guys know with leprosy comes isolation. And we read that here. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper. Pride leads to isolation. Sin leads to isolation. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote, so Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he's a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. What are some signs? We talk about pride, but what are some signs? I've seen different things about, hey, here's a tool to see if pride is in your life. What are some signs that you're walking in pride? You have a hard time being humble about certain things. And with that, like, what does that look like? Anger? Anger when you're corrected. Yeah. So that in and of itself is multitude of things, right? Maybe you're not going to be corrected by somebody that you see yourself better than. Or maybe you're no longer teachable. That's a sign that you're walking in pride. How about fault finding with others? Anything else? Unapproachable, yeah. Harsh spirit, defensiveness, neglect of others, you know, thoughtlessness of others. We've talked about that. The guy at the gate that the rich man just walked over. Trying to operate in an area in the flesh that you're not called to in the spirit. We've seen some of that over the years, that people want to attain a certain position or status, but you know, the leadership has prayed over it and they don't recognize it in the Lord. And oftentimes what happens if it's not recognized that day, then they're gone. They're gonna go do their own thing. You know, that's pride.
The Pharisee and the tax collector who we did last week, and the children.
I'm going to use that Sunday because that's where we are in big church. Yeah. Yeah. So how do we, all of those things together, how do you not go down the road of Uzziah? How do you fight against it? Have people that can hold you accountable. Yeah. Be willing to listen to them. I mean, and that's Uzziah ultimately here. He knew. When the priest came in and said, hey, this is not for you, Uzziah, he knew that. So I think step one is knowing who God is. You know, understanding not just who he is, but who he is and who you aren't, I guess. You know, but really knowing and understanding who God is. And I guess I would also say knowing who you are. You know, that's a way. Being humble. You know, when we get to heaven, guys, there's not going to be any, I'm here, where's my mansion? You know, when we read about heaven, it is literally, here's your crown, get on your face and give it to Jesus. All the glory. There's no pride there. It's humble in the sight of the Lord. There's a couple verses in Jeremiah. You guys should write this down. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. That's Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Good reminder. Know who God is. Know who we are. Chapter 27, short. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, listen to this, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. He did all the good stuff, but he didn't do that. And you know, when you read this, it says he was 25 years old, he reigned for 16 years, but he began his reign 11 years before the death of Uzziah. So he got to see the consequences of that. And he got to see the isolation of his father. He got to see what pride did. He got to see what growing large and having fame and all of this stuff and blessing of the Lord when you no longer recognize that it's blessing from the Lord and the destruction of pride and the isolation of sin. He got to see all that. And this is a great thing to share with people today on the street when they think, wow, this is how my family's always been. When I go into the jail, and I'm seeing kids of people I used to supervise or grandkids of people that I used to supervise, and you see this pattern, guys, we don't have to follow the bad patterns that we've come after. Some of us have been so blessed and have good, godly parents and grandparents. Nicole's family, the legacy, and that her grandparents started the rescue mission in Bangor, and they are a unique family. When I look at the kids and the grandkids that are following the Lord, it's amazing, the legacy there. And this is an example. He saw the sins of his father. He saw the destruction of his father and the isolation, and he didn't follow it. And it specifically says, he did all the good according to his father Uzziah had done, although he didn't enter the temple, but still the people acted corruptly. And that's not still in spite of how good he was, because we've seen that pattern throughout 2 Chronicles of revival, when there's a good king that people follow, but I think it's more still in that the people had started to stray during Uzziah and they continued on that path. Still the people acted corruptly as it had started under Uzziah. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. He built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah and on the forest. He built fortresses and towers, again, strengthening up those areas that they could be weak. He also fought with the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that 1 year hundreds of talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in the second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before God. So we see he built, he fought, and he prepared. Any application to that today for us? How can we prepare? Read the word. Elders, what happens if I drop dead tomorrow? Or I'm sick Sunday morning? Somebody's going to step up, right? These guys are all to be prepared in season and out of season, ready to teach, ready to go. They may fight out who gets up here first, but or work together. How many elders does it take to pump out a sermon? We're called to be ready in season, out of season. That's being prepared, having our ways be prepared before the Lord. We're told in the scriptures to be prepared for every good work. You know, we're supposed to have our lives aligned in that way. Yeah, be ready to give people a reason for the hope that is within you. So he built, he fought, he prepared his ways before the Lord God. Verse 7 says, now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed, they're written in the book of Kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. I want to go through 28 really quick because I want to be in 29 next week when you talk about a great king, Hezekiah, okay? So let's see how far we get here. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. So we know how this is going to end. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molded images for the Baals. And listen to this perversion. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. Imagine having such a ruthless, careless disregard for children. And he lived outside of America. Hard to believe. He burned his children in the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel, and he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. So sin, guys, sin. Sin leads to destruction. We see that in the people here. Sin leads to death. Sin, as we read through this, we'll see, leads to slavery. Right? When we start going down the road to sin, we become slaves to that sin. Verse 5 says, therefore the Lord, his God, delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him, carried away a great multitude of them as captives, brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. Verse 6 says, for Pelkah the son of Remaliah killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Zikri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maasa, this king's son, Achim, the officer over the house, Elkaniah, who was second to the king, and the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. And they also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria of all places. Now check this out. Verse 9 says, but a prophet of the Lord was there. They did all this. This destruction, death, was a result of Ahaz's sin. But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded, and he went out before the army that came to Samaria and said to them, look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he delivered them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves, but are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and return the captives whom you have taken captive from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Verse 12, then some of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, and these other dudes that matter a lot because they're in here, but for the sake of time, I'll stood up against those who came from the war and said to them, You shall not bring the captives here, for we already have offended the Lord. You intend to add to our sins and to our guilt, for our guilt is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the leaders and all the assembly. They walked away from it. They left it. Verse 15 says, then the men who were designated by name rose up, took the captives, and from the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them, gave them sandals, gave them food to drink, and anointed them. And they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. King Ahaz here has a choice. Verse 16, at the same time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria to help him. Rather than cry out to God, he cries out to his enemies. Cries out to the enemy. For again, the Edomites had come, attacked Judah, and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowland and of south of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh, Aijalon, Gederoth, Succoth and its villages, Timnah and its villages, Gimzo with its villages, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continuously unfaithful to the Lord. So we've talked about a number of these kings that had this great start, and they followed after the ways of the Lord. And we'll see with Ahaz, he had a terrible start and declined from there, went down from there. He was continually unfaithful to the Lord. And then verse 20, also the king of Assyria came to him, the one that he had cried out to instead of the Lord, cried out to him for help. And that king came and distressed him and did not assist him. For Ahaz took part in the treasures of the house of the Lord and from the house of the king and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became not repentant, became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. Started bad, ended worse. What do we do, guys, when we're in times of distress? Who do we turn to? Do we turn to the wisdom of the world or turn to our enemy even? Or do we turn and cry out to God who is mighty to save? He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the king of Syria help them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Thankfully, it says at the very end, then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. Hezekiah is one of my favorite kings, right up there with David. I'll talk about it next week. But read ahead about Hezekiah. But guys, think about where we turn to in our distress. Think about pride. Think about what walls we may need to tear down. The cost of a divided heart. So much stuff in this chapter to just go back over. Let's pray.